are you, Carol?
How are you today?
Baruch Hashem, I'm well.
Good, you finished early. I know, I was a little worried. You haven't been able to take out the checks. Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Okay.
It'll be getting solved today or tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm not as mobile as I would like, so for me to get to the bank and get it cash.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be taking care of that.
Okay. No. I it's fine with me. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't a problem and you needed help with something.
There is no problem. Everything is good.
Okay, good. Good to hear that. So there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but I did Yom Kippur, and I did everything you told me, and I did it really, really, like, well. I mean, the best I could by myself.
Right.
I think that was really good. I mean, it was, like you said, I mean, I did all the Amidas. I did the five, you know, the five meals. And I did everything you told me, and then that thing that the Chabad sends, it's like a guide.
Yes.
So I did all that, and I thought it went pretty well. I mean, I heard, like you said, before the holiday, before I lit my candles, I heard the Neila. And then my husband happened to put it on because he wanted to listen to it, so I listened from far too. But it worked. I mean, I did the best I could, let's put it that way.
Well, the real question is, did you feel elevated by it?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Then you did it right.
I actually felt, that's why when I did it better without the the second day of Rosh Hashanah, I didn't feel as good as the first day. And then on Yom Kippur, I felt like I did it right. And I did a lot of it outside also. And the only part was a little bit like that made me feel a little bad was, you know, the part at the end where you say one time, you know, Hashem's, and then you say the other one three times and then the other line seven times. But I said it outside, and I said it loud outside.
Good. And that's fine, and that's you did well.
Yeah. I think I did the best I could. So, and like I like your letter that said that the intention is what's important, and I tried the best, so I did the best intention.
Very good.
Yeah. So thank you for that. And then now Sukkot is coming up, so I wanted help. And guess what? Bli Neder, we're building. My husband is actually right now outside building the sukkah. So we've never had a sukkah before. And we wanted to, you know, bring the kids over and, like, do dinner under the sukkah and, like, eat. Here in Florida, it rains a lot at night, so let's see what happens. But we're building it, so.
Well, the more time you spend sitting in it,
uh-huh,
the better you will be.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and that, wait, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And one of the things, if it's not raining, you know, and I'm just, you and your husband can actually sleep in it.
Right. I don't think he'll really do that, but.
But that is a very, it's a romantic process, I can tell you. The energy of the sukkah.
Really?
It's, you know, I can't speak to anything because I don't know your husband and, you know.
Right.
It's not appropriate for me to be speaking about it, but I highly recommend couples, if they can, to sleep in the sukkah.
Okay. I'll tell him. Let's see. Maybe. You never know. I mean, I never thought he'd build a sukkah, and here he's the one that wants to, so, you know?
I was going to ask you, what was his motivation this time?
You know, you know what was his motivation? We were in Rosh Hashanah, and we had a tent, because I told you we did it, we stayed outside, and we bought this one of these tents, a little tent that they have for the, and that's what another thing I was going to ask you, and that the ones that they have for the football games, I think, that the people stay outside, and
they make their barbecues.
They make their barbecues, exactly. So I was able, because I saw, oh my gosh, it's going to rain, and I went running to Costco, and I saw one, they had one there, and it was, you know, they had like a lot of them, they were on sale. I bought one, and I put it, and so we put it, and it worked, you know, for the, we still got soaking wet because we didn't all fit there, and it was a, but whatever. So his daughter said, oh my gosh, this is like a sukkah. And so my husband, his daughter said that. And he said, like, oh. And so she said, oh, my daughter would love to be here in the and do it in the sukkah. And I went, and so that, because his daughter said it, that made him want to do it.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So, and she's really not, like, into this kind of thing. So I was very surprised. So now we're building a sukkah, and we're doing her birthday. Well, it's her, just, like, three kids, but we're doing the birthday of her daughter of under in the sukkah, because it's on on the 7th. So
wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm like, so that's really exciting. And then but what I wanted to do is, so, and you know, the rabbis, really, some of the rabbis are very nice, you know, and they, so I said to him, to one of the rabbis that's here where we live, there's a rabbi close, not so close, but he's a little bit, and so he said something, he called me for something, oh, that if we wanted to go over to have it, their sukkah. So I said, no, we can't, because we're having our friends over, and we're going to build a sukkah. And he said, really? I'll come right over. And he came right over, and he looked at it, and he told us what to do, because, you know, you can't just use that structure. So we're adapting that structure, and maybe I'll send you a picture or something. I don't know if it's, I mean, he told us what to do. It's got to have at least 38 inches, is it, or something in height? I mean, the walls.
Yeah, the walls. 40
inches in height.
Right.
Yeah? Three walls, right?
Three
sides.
Three sides, actually, two plus, but figure three sides.
Oh, really? Two plus? That's a good point. I'm going to tell him right now. Maybe two plus. So that would be amazing. Two sides and half of another, a third side?
Right.
Oh.
But if he's planning to do the three sides, let him do the three sides. It doesn't hurt, because you have the other side where you have the
open space. Yeah. Yeah.
The cloth opening.
But let me just tell, one second. No, don't hang up. One second. Let me just say that to him. 1 minute. Sorry, Hano, sorry.
No problem.
So, yeah, I told him, but I think he wants to do the three sides, whatever. Anyway, so, and then the top, we're going to... Huh?
It's probably better to listen to the rabbi, because I'm not familiar with what you're doing. So.
Right, no. And we're putting, we put, like, bamboo on top, because it's a metal structure, right? It's got four legs and, like a metal thing on top. So we're putting bamboos on top, like bamboo... you know, on top of the metal, and then on top of that, so it doesn't touch the metal, right? It's not supposed to,
yeah.
The leaves, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so the idea is that the leaves don't touch the metal? That's the only thing that doesn't have to touch the metal? Or the walls can be on the outside of the metal of the structure, right?
The walls can be on the outside of the metal of the structure, or on the inside.
Okay. We put them on the outside.
Okay.
Okay.
But the important thing is that when you look up, when you're standing or sitting in the sukkah,
mm-hmm.
and you look up,
mm-hmm.
you can see the stars through the roof.
Okay, perfect. So you don't have to put so many leaves on there.
Correct. Just enough that it's covered, but it's really, when you look up through the leaves, you should be able to see the stars.
At least half of the space has to be covered, the rest no?
No. When you look up,
yeah,
it can't be a little bit of space that you can look through to see the stars. It's about, so it's roughly half of the space.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Is the way you, so, but you lay it out, and I'm sure the rabbi said he'd probably come by and verify.
I mean, I'll ask him and see if he'll come by. Or I'll send him or you pictures and you tell me. But I think it'll be fine. I understand what you're saying. Like between the leaves, so you more at least half the space empty, so you can see the stars, and then the rest of. In other words, in percentage, it's like 50% should be that you could see the stars.
Right.
I get it.
That's just it's a rough estimate, but
a
yes.
Rough estimate, right? Okay, perfect. So yeah, so I wanted to tell you that. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm getting a lulav and a netrog.
Good.
So I can do it every day, right?
Except Saturday. Don't do it.
Yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah. Not Shabbat. Yes. So lulav, not Shabbat. I know that, but I'll write it anyway.
Now let me give you some ideas to decorate.
Okay.
There are seven species that are from Israel.
Right.
You're familiar with them?
No, but I can look them up because I remember in the Kabbalah Center they were very specific about that.
Right. What you want to do is like you if you can, if it's available to you, buy a pomegranate.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the pomegranate in a plastic bag.
Okay.
And then hang the plastic bag with a little string or whatever
right.
from the roof.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay, the same thing if you go get a little bit of wine, pour it into a plastic bag.
Oh, wine, okay.
Actually, you can even get, grape juice, little bottles of grape juice like you do for the kids.
Ah, that's a great idea, grape juice, okay.
And then you just hang one. These seven species, all the different species. The reason for the plastic bag is you don't want the insects to get to it.
No, of course. Of course. And you don't want it all messy and falling all over and being dirty.
Right.
Right.
But the energy of those items, it's just,
but it doesn't matter that it's in a plastic bag, I know.
It doesn't matter. It's just amazing.
Okay.
It really works. You know, like if you do a bottle of grape juice, you don't need a plastic bag, but
right,
because it's in the bottle. But if you, anything like raisins, grapes.
Oh, okay. So it can be raisins, it can be grapes, or it can be wine or grape juice.
It can be any of the above or all of the above.
Okay. And then pomegranate, and then seven species other than that?
There's bran and wheat.
Wheat.
Pomegranate. Olives.
Okay. Olive.
Grapes is the fifth one, which
right.
is wine.
Right.
You can do olives and olive oil.
Okay. Oh, olives or olive oil or both, right? But that's one species.
Yes. That's one species, yes.
Okay.
I can't think of the other two offhand.
Okay, I'll look for them. One, two, three.
But you should be able to find them.
Yeah, I'll find them.
You can do even avocado while it's not a species for the, from the Israel. It's a lot of people will do avocado for the green color.
Yeah. Okay. You remind me. And one time I was in the Kabbalah Center, and I've been in other sukkahs. I remember in Colombia we had sukkahs. They also used to hang a lot of stuff from them. Because it's a Sephardic synagogue. But then
right.
I remember at the Kabbalah Center once walking in and just sitting there, and the same thing happened like the first time you gave me the prayers. I felt like I was totally high, like totally high. It's incredible the energy in there.
It is. If it's done properly, it's amazing. And
that's okay.
Why I said
thanks for reminding me.
The more hours you spend sitting there, if you can read or study there or whatever, every meal there, it's really an amazing energy.
Wow, that's great.
It's the energy of chesed, the energy of love. It's literally what the sukkah is designed to do. It draws life into the world.
Beautiful. Okay, so for Sukkot, what is the main things? Or I'm going to look again here. Sukkot is coming, and it says how to do it and whatever. Is there any specific, like, well, I guess the Shabbat and all that, any specific thing that is the most important, like you told me the others, or no?
In your Shabbat, you have a maksor for Sukkot?
No, I don't have one.
Okay.
I should get one.
See if you can get that before, you know, Saturday.
Yes, of course. Sukkah maksor. Sukkot maksor, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to get one.
So you try and do that.
Okay.
If not, typically your Shabbat siddur, the Amidah is slightly different.
Of course, because it has the sukkah part, right? The sukkot
right.
part.
It adds the sukkah, and if you don't have it, you know, I would imagine Chabad will be sending out the same thing that they did for Yom Kippur, but I don't
imagine.
Know.
Yeah, I imagine.
But I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I imagine that they're going to send out, which I think those are amazing. Here it says, can celebrate 7 days, and they probably have it, yeah. They send to build and buy, and it has... It probably has 10 tips for an amazing Sukkot at home. They probably have it. I'm going to look for it. I'll look for the same thing. And it's good because I'm keeping all of them, so I have them. I mean, I guess, God willing, next year we won't have to do all this, but who knows.
Well, hopefully we won't have to do it, but you still, it's better to have it because it helps you study from it, to actually be prepared for the holiday.
No, and when you have to take responsibility to do it yourself, you learn much more because you're not depending on anybody, you know?
Exactly.
So it's like you're on your own.
Right. The main additions is the Hallel.
Hallel. All right. Hallel.
So,
okay.
You know, in your Shabbat Siddur, there will be a place, there will be the Hallel. And you'll do it. You wave the Lagadet robe at the different times in the Hallel.
Right,
so,
and you go around.
And you go around after you wave it, and you go around the Torah. Or, you know, in this case, you'll have a...
I have a humash.
You have a humash, you leave it on the table, and then you circle around the table.
That's what I... Funny, that's what I did. I used it so much like it was the Torah for Yom Kippur too.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, but that the Hallel is also in the Sukkot Machzor. If I can get one of those, it's all in there.
If you can get a Sukkot Machzor, it'll be in there. And if not, it will be in the Shabbat Siddur.
Okay.
It just may not be marked where you're supposed to wave.
Right. Right. No, better. I'm going to get one. I'm going to get one. I'll go. We have, you know, where I live is very Jewish, so we can get any.
Right.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Not a big
I'm
deal.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, probably the Jewish bookstores will have one.
Yeah, for sure. And, okay, so that those are the main things to do. And to do whatever they say to do there, right? And then every day you do the blessing of the... Except for Shabbat. You do the blessing inside the sukkah with the etrog and the lulav?
Yes.
And first
every
you do
day.
Hallel the first day, right?
You do Hallel for the first and second days.
Okay, first and second days, okay.
And then from Monday through Thursday, you're doing it. You have a Torah reading, and it's Chol HaMoed, so you can do other things, but it's the more hours you spend in the sukkah, the better.
Right. So Monday through Thursday is Shake the
And there's a Torah reading every day, so you need to study from the Humash what they are and make sure you know what the readings on the other days come from the Book of Numbers. You'll have to find the right readings. They're generally maybe what you're doing actually is you're reading about the sacrifices that are associated with Sukkot.
Right.
And included in those sacrifices each day on Shabbat this year, because that's the first day, you start with 13 bulls plus some other sacrifices,
yeah.
some other animals.
Yeah, there's 70 bulls that they do in total, right?
Right, exactly. And what you're doing is sharing that energy with the other nations through the sacrifice of the number of bulls each day and the 70 total. What that's doing is minimizing anti-Semitism.
Minimizing the what?
Anti-Semitism.
Yes, I read that. But, no, I that was one thing I needed. First, I want to finish with whatever is the most important of Sukkot, because I don't want to miss that. But then I want to ask you about the sacrifices.
Okay, well, the sacrifices, to me, is the most important.
Really?
Because the sacrifices, that's the only time of the year that we can affect anti-Semitism.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is the other nations, if we don't share the energy, they feel a lack, and they blame the Jews.
Right,
and
because
the
of the lack of light, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So to me,
that's our responsibility, right?
Yes. The most important is waving the lulav. Mm-hmm. First, the most important is building a sukkah, which you're doing.
Okay.
Secondly, it's waving the lulav and etrog.
Okay.
And that's done during the Hallel.
Right.
Okay. So that makes it important. And then the third thing is the circle around the Torah.
Right.
Okay. And the fourth thing is this listening to the Torah reading, studying the Torah reading of the number of bulls.
Okay, and then four is the sacrifices, bulls.
Right.
Sacrifices,
now,
which is the reading of the Torah.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Friday, there's a whole other ritual.
Okay. Friday, because it starts Friday. No, the second Friday.
Second Friday.
Okay. So when at the end of the holiday.
At the end of the holiday. It's really the same thing, except you make seven circles, not one.
Okay. So Friday, right, Friday is seven circles instead of one.
Right.
Wait a minute. And you're saying that there's only one circle that you do in Hallel?
Yes.
Oh.
You finish Hallel and then you do the circle.
Oh, you finish Hallel and do the circle. Okay, okay.
If you get the Maksor,
yeah, it says.
It'll tell you what to do.
Okay.
But on Friday, it's really Thursday night.
Okay.
After midnight.
Right.
Read as fast as you can the book of Deuteronomy from beginning to end.
Wow. Okay. I'll scan it.
You're going to scan it. You're not going to be able to read it all. So
no,
it's
I can't.
Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy, the fifth book. Last book.
Right.
So it's really a Torah study Friday night. Stay up almost the whole night.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. And then if there's a Kabbalah center that you can go to, you should check to see if they're going to be checking the shadow that night and if you can go to
it. I remember that. Yeah, checking of the shadow. Boy, you're reminding me a lot of stuff. Checking of the shadow. I remember doing that. What was that? What was about checking of the shadow? What was the purpose?
Well, the purpose is to know, to learn if you're going to have a problem physically with your health.
That's right.
During the year.
Yes, but
the,
I know that's very only few people know how to really tell. I mean, like maybe you would be able to tell, and you've got a Kabbalah center. Some of the people know, but right, it has to be a specific person that knows how to do that, right? That knows how to tell.
Not everybody knows how to do it. I've never heard that anybody in Chabad has taught that.
No, I've never seen that either. I've never seen it even be talked about.
Right. But in the Kabbalah Center, that's why if you can get to a Kabbalah Center.
Right, right. That's right. But Hanok, so if there's a problem, then you see it and then you can do something about it, you mean in another Sefirot before it manifests.
Exactly. If that person sees something, then he will give you a tikkun to read before the morning.
Wow.
He will give you some Hebrew to scan or read to make the
change. I remember doing that, but the prison doing it didn't. I don't know. They saw everybody well, thank God, and nothing, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I experienced. I never read it myself because I was learning, but.
Right.
I experienced where somebody, the person saw that the person had a problem with their head.
Wow.
So they gave them something to scan. And that morning, because you're overtired, obviously staying up all night.
Yeah.
The person was walking back to the car.
Yeah.
And slipped and fell, and their head hit the curb.
Wow.
And there was no damage.
Wow.
So, it does work, and it's worth doing if you can get to it.
Of course, but that's incredible. But okay, how would that? Why would you be getting that, and why would just that fix it? Like why would just scanning or reading something be able to fix that problem if the problem comes from something you've done before or something like that, right? Or some reason that...
The Hebrew letters...
are very powerful.
Hebrew letters can fix everything. If we really knew what our mistakes were...
Yeah, of course.
Then we could just read the Hebrew letters and fix those mistakes. That's the process of tshuva, of returning.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you're reading is very, very significant, and it's, you don't play around with it. You don't read something just because, you think I might have that issue. There's a reason why the person was going to have that accident that would hurt her head.
Right.
And so they gave her the right correction for that. But, you have to be knowledgeable about it.
Yeah, of course. It has to be. I think it has to be a person that really knows.
Yes.
Yes. And
the only place, you're right, the only place I've ever heard of them doing it is in the Kabbalah Center.
Yeah, I remember that really well, because I was like really intrigued, and I remember, but it was, and a man called Shimon did it, and he passed away. Anyway,
hopefully he taught somebody to do it.
Yeah. No. I'm sure they have other people now, but I don't even know if they. I guess they've opened. I don't even know because they were closed for a long time. I don't know.
The Kabbalah Center is going through a lot of changes. I haven't been a member for 20 years now. So.
Yeah. Me either. Funny.
So I don't really know what's going on with them, but that's really the issue.
Yeah, I know that Karen Berg, she passed away. Yeah, I know that.
She passed away, and the two brothers are in conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's very confusing for people.
Yeah, it is confusing. Difficult. Anyway. So Hanukkah. So So those are the main things. I got it. One the sukkah, the lulav, the etrog, the halel. When you finish, you do the one circle, but you follow what it says on the machzor, and then the circle, and you do one circle, and the circle of the Torah, right? You do the lulav, the etrog, and then the sacrifices. I wrote it, which is the reading of the Torah, and then on the Thursday. After midnight, you scan all of Deuteronomy, and you do the and then you do the seven circles. Yeah?
You'll do the seven circles in the morning.
Oh, in the morning.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Morning, right, and you have the same thing that you do every day, every morning.
Right.
But
right.
In addition, after midnight, you've read Deuteronomy. That's
right.
The addition. And if you have access to the somebody to check the shadows, you'll do that after midnight.
And I'll do that.
After.
I have that. Okay. Okay, perfect. So Hanok, one question. You tell me when you have to go. Don't worry. Okay. I just have one question. Is the whole thing about the whole thing? Like when I was in You know, I always remember on Yom Kippur, and I guess here the killing of all those 70. There has to be blood to make up for all our sins. I mean, I never understand what the sacrifices are about.
The animals are a substitute for our own animal nature.
Right.
So when you do a sin, you need to sacrifice blood and fats.
Blood and what?
Blood and fats.
Fat?
In your body, fat, F-A-T.
Yeah, fat, right. That's why they burn it and it smells. It always has the smell of the fat and all that, right?
Correct, and that's what they're doing. That's what the sacrifice is. The sacrifice of an animal is a substitute for you sacrificing your life.
Right.
Because you have to sacrifice your animal instincts. In order to become divine, you have to let go of your animal nature. And we are animals. You know, there's really not a big difference between a sheep and a human being, between
right.
a goat and a human being.
Right.
So the sacrifices are exchanging. The animal is taking the place of our animal being sacrificed.
Right. I get that, and I know that, and it's like kaparot is the same thing, right? And
yes.
But it just, I don't know. Just, I guess I don't understand. I guess, in other words, there has to be blood shed somewhere, because there's, in other words, it's like saying, let's say you have to pay tax, right? They don't care
right.
where you get it from, but you have to pay it. I mean, you can
right.
get it from here, from there, from there, but as long as you pay it, you're fine. So it's a payback, but
it's not a payback. It's a cleansing.
A cleansing, exactly. But right, it's a cleansing, but it can be done anyway. And I don't know.
Because we don't have the temple,
right,
we can't do the sacrifice.
Right.
There's no temple, no sacrifice. But the study of the sacrifice, which is the hearing of the Torah, you're hearing about the sacrifices. You're not really studying how to do the sacrifices.
Right,
you're
no.
not a Torah. You don't
right.
need to know it. But the study, the listening to the sacrifices,
right,
is
right.
the substitute. God has said, look, I destroyed my house.
Right.
But I will, because you cannot do the sacrifices, your study of the sacrifices takes the place.
Right. But yes, I understand. It's kind of you connect to that energy and you're able to do
the cleansing.
To correct. Do the cleansing. But isn't that, I know, a little bit like, remember when they used to sacrifice babies and women and virgins? And yes, I'm not saying, I mean, terrible, but what's the difference? Huh?
Jews did not do that. That's the different gods that the other nations have. There was the god of Molech who the nation lived in the land of Israel, and they built this huge metal slide from the top of a mountain to
right.
the bottom. In the bottom, they had this fire going, and they would slide their children down the slide into the fire. That was one thing. And the other nations did really horrible things. And the Jews were taught through the Torah to not do those things.
Right.
And that's why the other nations would hate us on a physical level. Because
right.
we were saying, don't do that because you're really being harmful. And
right.
they didn't want to hear it because they thought they were doing what was right for them.
But you said something, I know you said that before we fell, that there were no, people didn't eat animals and didn't eat all these things. People would only...
Between the creation of Adam and the flood of Noah,
yeah,
people were not allowed to eat animals. But as the people became more negative,
yeah.
they started to eat the animals, even though they were told not to. That's why the flood, the generation of the flood, was destroyed, and they don't reincarnate.
Oh, wow. Oh, because of that. So, but what then? So, why are we eating animals? We reincarnated.
Because we were taught to. We were taught that we are allowed to eat animals after the flood, because some of the people of the generation of the flood reincarnated animals, and they need our help to be elevated. You can't eat the meat of a non-kosher animal because there's no human in it. But the kosher animal is where they're going to be. Because the trait of the human in the flood, and even today, a human being can take on the trait of a kosher animal.
Wow.
So we have people who act like animals, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of animals are more humane than people.
Exactly.
So I don't know if you're asking the right person, but I've seen that. You know, animals will only eat when they're hungry. They don't kill anything before. They kill their prey before they eat it, usually, except for hyenas. And,
right.
You know, so, you know, and then you see all these other horrific things that people do, and, I don't know. But, yeah, but do all the animals that are kosher have human souls, a piece of human soul in them?
No. Only the animals that come to an observant Jew's table on Shabbat.
Oh. Oh, they come to an observant Jew's table. Oh, so the rest of the time we wouldn't have to eat animals.
Correct.
We're not doing anything for it.
All we're doing when you eat an animal is you're lowering your spiritual level, because you are what you eat. So you're
right.
Bringing that negative trait of the animal into your body.
Right.
But on Shabbat, there's a human soul that you're elevating. So it you don't go down because of you eating the meat, unless you're a glutton, of course.
Unless
if
you're what?
Become glutton,
yeah.
You overeat on Shabbat, that kind of thing.
Right. But so if we eat, in other words, those are the souls that are in those animals that come to an observant Jew on Shabbat's table. Those are the ones, the reincarnation from the souls from Noah, from the flood.
Not necessarily today. It could be from, you know, the people from previous lifetimes who were horrible. You know, the there were Jewish people who were in the camps who were trying to survive. You know, they became capital. They lorded it over the other people because they were appointed, a guard over other people. So some of those have to reincarnate as animals, and we're helping them elevate, because their correction is complete, and we can't bring Mashiach until all of them are there. But that's why you have a greater amount of vegetarians coming into the world, because there's no need for everybody to be eating meat anymore. But if it's something you desire, then it means that there's a human soul you're helping.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, I feel... And I realize that since I became vegetarian, I have a completely different soul, and not soul.
The spiritual level. You have a different spiritual level,
yes.
Higher spiritual level.
I don't know if it's higher, but it's different. It's just a completely different. You don't have as much, like, maybe it's anger or,
correct.
It's less male. Attitude. I don't know if it's male, but, you know, fighting, that kind of thing. Aggressiveness.
Exactly. But that's why, that's the issue. You know, in your youth, you were taught to eat meat, but you know, as you grow, you felt no longer felt the need for it, and you transformed it, and that's transforming the energy in you.
So, but I know. So one question, like for example, I have a lot of issues. I see a lot of fishermen, and I've gotten to the point where things have become very painful. A lot of things for me that I don't understand why that happens to me. And sometimes I feel like maybe I'm going nuts. And it's like, it bothers me if I see somebody fishing, you know, and I shouldn't be like that because I know that they're fishing and whatever. But like, I always ask them, hey, are you just killing? Are you going to eat what you fish? And a lot of them, oh no, I just do it as sport. And then they have these hooks. So I tell them, but why don't you get the round hooks that you can return them? Anyway, I have arguments. Then if I see anything in pain, hurting, or whatever, I can't see it. So I mean, does it get to a point where, like, sometimes it's like you feel everything. How do you change that? Or is it that I'm going nuts? Or what's going on? I don't understand. It's like something's happening. Huh?
You're not going nuts. But the question is, what's important to you? You're seeing it. You're seeing that there could look. You buy salmon, right? You buy salmon. You make fish for dinner.
Yeah, I make for my husband. I make stuff for him. Yeah.
Okay.
Every time he wants brisket or something, or some type of meat, it hurts me. I hate buying it. I just like I can't even look at it. It's just painful. I see the cow. I see the pain. I see the suffering. And it just becomes to a point where it's really hard.
What you need to understand is that animal is not suffering. Maybe he is suffering if it's not kosher meat. But if it's kosher meat, that animal is not suffering. That animal was created to serve man. The people that eat that animal are helping the animal to reach its highest correction, its highest purpose.
Right.
Because the highest purpose is for that human being to be released, the soul of the human to be released and elevated.
Right. I only
so
buy
your husband, I assumed you did.
Yeah.
If your husband says he wants brisket, make it on Shabbat.
That's what I do, only on Shabbat. Only.
Exactly. So there's no reason for you to be upset or see the pain of the animal because this is the purpose of the animal.
And so, Hanuk, can it be like sometimes when I see somebody being very bad to something, yeah, very mean to whatever it is that can't talk. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's even plants. So it's become very difficult, like trees. You know, if I see they're hurting a tree, and it's like sometimes it's just hard. And so if, for example, I see somebody fishing, would that fish that they're fishing be maybe them in a past life doing the same thing to the fish?
Yes. The corrections are always mida kenegad mida, measure for measure. What you did in the past lifetime is going to happen in this lifetime.
Right.
It balances the universe.
It's kind of like, yeah, it balances. It's kind of like I have this thing in me that bothers me because I don't want to be like that, but it is like I feel like everything has that can't talk still feels, and I have to represent them like a lawyer. You understand?
I understand. Huh? Let me give you some understanding of this. I'm being absurd in, you know, extension.
Okay.
But let's say person A kills person B.
Right.
And person C observed the killing.
Mm-hmm.
Person C has part of the tikkun. Because maybe they could have stopped it.
Right.
There's a reason why they're seeing the killing.
Right.
And that's referred to as the dust of the negative action. the dust of the negative action still has to be cleansed. This is what you're feeling. You're seeing somebody kill something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a human being, but it's an animal or it's a fish. But it's causing you pain. That pain you are feeling is the cleansing of the dust of negative actions you've done in previous lifetimes.
It's the remnants.
It's the remnants, exactly. It's the remnants, but it has to be cleansed. If we read about the earthquake in China,
right?
We're reading about it in the newspaper. We have nothing to do with that earthquake.
Right, and we're not doing anything.
But the fact that we read about it is a cleansing of the remnant of an action we did that requires stoning as the death. So we've cleansed the main part of it, but there's remnants of it that has to come to us this way.
Right.
So the pain, the discomfort that we read, that we feel reading about it, is cleansing that remnant. The pain you are feeling about seeing somebody kill a fish, or you know, or an animal,
whatever, a plant, even. I mean, it's crazy.
Exactly. It's not really crazy. It's, but you need to understand it, that you're cleansing the remnant. So rather than be upset with the pain, be thankful that the pain is so easily cleansed.
Right. But is it that, no, or is it that what, like you're saying, is it that you feel that you, situations from the past lives that you didn't do anything and you didn't speak up, so you feel like you have to speak up this time?
Like, yes, that's where the feelings are coming from. That's correct. But you have to live in the society that we live in. And the society we live in,
These
people don't recognize it, so they're going to argue with you and ignore you.
No, I'm the oddball. It's not like they're the oddball.
You can't fight with them and force them to stop, but you can make them aware that this is what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And maybe that will awaken something in them that they'll stop.
That's what I do, yeah.
More humane.
I speak to them and I try to go from a place of, you know, of kindness and love and, like, you know, at first I would fight, and then, because I fight too sometimes, and you know, I can become like, you know, like angry and this and that, especially before, because they said they couldn't and they would do it, so I would tell them. But now I'm going and just telling them, you know, like from a nice place, and look, oh, you know, how do you feel about that? I always say, how would you feel if you had to bite into one of those hooks, you know?
Right.
And their answer is they don't feel anything, and I'm like, how do you know that? Like, what, you know, how do you know that? I think that might be an excuse, maybe. You know, I don't know what to say because I don't really know myself. It's not like I know. I'm not a fish, and I'm not a whatever. But
whatever thoughts come to mind is coming from Hashem. So,
okay,
you know, you just recognize you make the statement. They have free choice whether they're going to follow it, make this
change. Of course, I can. Of course.
You can force it.
Right.
But that's, you're doing what is right for you to do. Otherwise, you wouldn't have these feelings.
Right. So many times, Hanukkah, I say, I try to, I close an eye and I go, you know, let go and let God. Like, let go and let God. Let go. And,
exactly.
And let Hashem take care of it, you know? But then that's the same as what you said, watching something and not saying anything about it is almost as bad as doing it yourself, I imagine.
It's a different level, but the answer is yes. It's not as bad, but it's cleansing the remnant.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's just, so sometimes, like, yeah, I guess it's just become like a very... I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird. I don't know if it has to do with age as you get older. You know, you change, right?
It does have to do with age. As you get older, you become more connected to chesed, to loving kindness.
Right. More sensitive, maybe.
The males lose their testosterone and they're
right.
not as aggressive.
Right.
You know, all of that.
Right. I don't know, yeah. That helps. Thank you. And I guess...
You're welcome.
And so at the end of the day, those animals, or those things, or those plants, or those trees, you know, that they do things, or they, you know, like they do things, and like things that, you know, people don't even think about. That they're suffering because they're learning something from that. In other words, it's okay, is what I'm saying. Or is that just that we're so messed up? We're so messed up, and we fell down so far that. There's nothing...
Not every human being is supposed to become righteous. Ultimately, every human being will become righteous. But in this lifetime, that may not be what they're supposed to do. Their tikkun will be different.
No, and I think righteous in different ways. I can be good in these ways, and I may probably am not good in many other... You know what I mean?
Absolutely. There is no righteous person who does not sin.
Right.
That's what the Torah teaches.
Only Hashem.
So, correct. So you go about, don't make yourself crazy, but do what you feel is right.
Okay.
And, you know, give them the free choice to stop. That's all you're doing.
That's why sometimes I, you know, I feel bad because it's like, in other words, I know that I'm the person that is the oddball always wherever I am, wherever I go. So it's weird. And I really feel many times, Hanochen, this is another thing I wanted to talk. We'll talk another day, the next time. But,
Carol, understand something. You are unique in this world. There are very few people who are still observant in this world. You're doing the best that you can. This is all part of the tikkun. This is part of your lifetime. There's no right or wrong to the process. It's growing and elevating, being better today than you were yesterday. But not everybody is ready to do that. That's why when Mashiach comes, he will determine what needs to happen. Some of the people will be able to not sacrifice animals anymore. And others will need to sacrifice animals. But everybody's going to reach the level of being righteous at some point. But it isn't necessarily today. But you're striving, you're being more observant than others. You're striving to do more. You're striving to grow more. You're striving to bring the Mashiach. The other people are waiting for the Mashiach. That's what does Christianity teach?
Right, wait for the Mashiach.
Okay, what does Judaism teach? Bring
the
Mashiach. The
consciousness of Mashiach. We have to get the consciousness of Mashiach.
Exactly. But you're always going to be out of step with other people, even other Jews. Because, you know, you got the merit to study some form of Kabbalah.
Right.
How many Jews don't even get that?
Yeah.
It doesn't make you better, it makes you more responsible.
Exactly.
But don't feel badly that you're out of step with the society, because the society is on a lower level than you are. That's just what it is.
But, Hanoch, do you think, you know, it was very, I told you that odd story, I think. I really sometimes, really seriously don't think that I'm from this planet. I mean, if you talk to anybody who knows me, and, you know, I mean, people like me a lot and everything, but anybody you talk to, they think that I'm really funny, you know, that I'm very nutty, that I'm eccentric, I'm not, no. I really feel like I don't know. I mean, like, like, can it be that we're not from here? Can it be that we're just, like, you know, dropped here and we're not from here?
When we study about the UFOs, you'll get an answer to that question.
Okay. We'll have that one.
No, I can't give you the answer in a spoon-fed way.
Right.
It's something you have to arrive at yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, but what you're saying is that I feel different than other people.
In my head, I think different than many people because I just... So it's hard sometimes, even with my kids, because they, you know, they're like, oh, you're so, you know, you're like so nutty, you're so crazy, you're so this. And I feel it. I mean, I'm like not the norm in anything ever. And so, and my father was like that too. But so maybe it comes, you know. But it's just, so sometimes I just feel like, you know, it's weird to always think, like whatever makes sense to me doesn't make sense to anybody else. So it's weird, you know. It's just weird.
You're talking to the choir here.
You feel like, so you know. That's why we're together.
All of my students are people who feel weird.
Exactly.
You know, when we started, you know, I'm not. We need to talk about what we're going to study so that we can be prepared and do it effectively. But,
right.
You know, see, this is an amazing year. When you think about it, every holiday has been on Shabbat.
Yeah, amazing.
And not after this holiday, you have two holidays the following weekend. You have Shmini Atzeret, which is the Shabbat after this one.
Right.
And the Sunday after this one is Simchat Torah.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether you're going to do that at home or you're going to, you know, what you're going to do, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, next week, exactly. That's why I've been talking about the holidays because they're so powerful and I feel like there's a change, something changed after Yom Kippur.
The energy has changed. The energy of the year has changed and you feel it. If you're energy sensitive, is the way I describe it. You know, some people will say it's oh, you're psychic or your intuition, but it's really your energy sensitive.
Yeah, I'm not psychic.
You feel metaphysical energy, but you don't yet have the tools to verbalize what you feel.
Nor do I know what's right or wrong ever. That's the other thing. I get like confused.
Yeah, that's where you have to learn to trust your intuition.
Right.
That's really... The confusion is because there is nothing that is always one way. Every mitzvah that you are to do, there is a time or a place or a situation where you should not do it. So everything is relative in this world. And that creates crazy making because there's no set rule.
Right, and no right and wrong, black and white. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly. You have to be aware and make your determination for yourself.
And that's what gives us free will, right? Not we wouldn't have free will.
That is the free will. That's exactly what
it'd be very easy.
If you knew it. If we lived in a world that if you as a 10-year-old you went into the store and you stole a pack of gum and your finger fell off,
yeah,
immediately, would you steal again?
No, never.
Of course, it's all part of the process. And we do think differently than other people. The question is, do you need to be part of the other people?
No.
Because you think differently or that you know for you this is the right path. And as
definitely,
you said,
definitely.
You know this is the right path.
It's not even, is it the right path? It's I don't have an option. I cannot be that way.
Right.
Actually, when I was married to my ex-husband, the father of my children, That was our whole problem. He wanted me to be a certain way, which I could not be. And I really tried to be that way, because to be like everybody. And so I know it's not even a possibility. It's not going to happen.
Right. You know who you are. You learned who you are. And that's part of, you know, when you were 20 years old, you didn't know who you were.
Exactly. You could do a little bit, but now it's much harder.
Exactly. And, you know, as long as you understand that, and that's why the study of Kabbalah is going to open you up to be able to understand what you feel.
Right.
And it's not something I can say to you, oh, you describe what you feel and I can tell you what you feel.
No.
You have to be able to learn to describe it.
Right.
You have to learn the vocabulary of Kabbalah and you'll be able to describe it.
Right.
When you say these things to me, I tell you I understand them. I experience them myself.
You're the only person I can really tell, because you're the only person that really understands what I'm saying. Like, if I talk to somebody, it's like, you know, whatever, or they don't listen, or they're not interested. You understand? It's just not something interesting, you know?
I'm gonna describe something. I hope I'm wrong in the way I describe it. If you tried to tell your husband what you tell me, he would listen politely, but he wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't make any changes. He wouldn't comfort
exactly
you.
Exactly.
And that's the reality of who he is, and you're in his life to help him grow to your level.
And he for some reason, I mean, he listens to me. And it's funny, sometimes he does, like, I tell him, look, we did this, and look, don't you feel how wonderful this feels? And then, and he does change little by little, but he doesn't like a lot of change. I mean, he likes things not to ever change. And I'm the total opposite. So it's, you know, like, for me, you know, I'm always
together.
Looking for better ways, you know?
Yeah, and that's why you're together.
Yep.
That's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know, it's all good.
Yes, it's all good. I agree.
We're going to meet next week on Tuesday.
Whatever day, yes. Oh, because Thursday is a holiday, right? Or Thursday, of course, we can do Tuesday, whatever day works for you.
Well, let's do it Tuesday. And would you rather have it at 3:15 like this today? Or
I think it's better for me if it's okay for you, whatever works for you.
That's right. So Next Tuesday, let's say 3 to 3:15, and if
okay, you text me like this time. I wasn't ready because I was thinking 3:15, but you just tell me and I'll be ready from 3.
Well,
okay.
I have a class from 2 to 3.
Right, I know. So you finish, but sometimes it lags on. That's why you had said 3:15.
Right. So, but I set the conference call at 3, so that if I do finish early,
we can
be on it.
We can start. And also, I have no. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm fine. Other days is harder. But like for example, Tuesday, if you go run long or you decide earlier or later, it's not a problem. You just tell me.
I
can work around.
We can text you, but we'll plan on 3. But if I'm running late, I'll be texting you.
No problem. I'll text you and I'll say, do you want me to now? And then you tell me yes or no, whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. Or you tell me, whatever. Okay.
All right.
I know. Thank you.
Next week, are you going to want to talk about the holidays, or maybe we can start to study?
What do you think? Well, I do want to talk a little bit at least about the other two holidays.
We will, but I don't think we're going to need to take the whole hour.
Right, right. So we'll talk about that. And I guess I do want to go back to the extraterrestrials and the
Yeah. So we'll start to study those. I think we need to start over. So, you know, we did a little bit, but we never.
Well,
really
I kind of remember, and I have the tapes. But if you want, we can start. I kind of remember part of it. Not all of it.
Well, I don't mind if we start in the middle. So why don't you read, if you have time, you know, early next week, because you may won't have time now building the sukkah.
Yeah.
But if you have time to listen to those old recordings.
Okay. Okay.
So you can say where we should start. you know, you'll decide whether you've listened to the recordings and you want to start where we left off or you want to start again at the beginning.
Okay, we'll do that. Perfect. You want me to tell you ahead of time or it doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
It just,
no.
You know,
fine. Yeah, I like, I'm so, that's all I listen to all day is about that kind of thing.
Right.
I find it very interesting. Yeah. I find it very interesting. Huh?
This way you'll be getting kosher.
Exactly. Then I understand better, yeah.
The crap that's out there.
Right, right, right. There's all kinds of stuff that's not worth even, no.
Talking about, exactly.
Right. Right.
All right.
Thank you, Hanok. Thank you so much, and thank you for your time. If you need anything, let me know, and if you need me to do anything about the checks, let me know. And next time, maybe we can do it better through PayPal, and I'll pay, and I can send you the difference or whatever, you know, so you don't have to pay it or whatever. At least that's easier for you, maybe.
Well, let's see where we go. I mean, right now,
okay.
I expect to get a system set up.
Oh, okay. So that might work well. Okay.
And clear it all out for next week. So.
Okay. No problem.
By next Tuesday, I'll know what's going on and
okay,
we'll resolve how we're going to do it.
Perfect. Thank you, Hano. Have a great. Oh, and you got the things for the caparot. I imagine you.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Have a great. A great night.
You too, and have a beautiful Sukkot. And if you need to talk to me, something happens, you need to talk to me, just give me a call.
Yeah, I will. I'll text you, give you
okay.
a call. Thanks. Bye, Hanno. Have a great day. You too. Happy Hak Sameach. Bye-bye.